"Bing!" he shouted. An arrow thudded into you bastard's hump. Equals 6.3 recurring, reduce, that gives us, 314 seconds. You bastard turned his long neck around. His great hairy eyebrows made accusing curves as his yellow eyes narrowed and took a fix on the high priest, and he put aside the interesting problem for a moment and dredged up the familiar ancient maths that his race had perfected long ago. Let range equal 41 feet, let wind speed equal 2, vector 1.8, cud. Let glutinosity equal 7. Tepic drew a throwing knife. Dios took a deep breath. He's going to order them to fire on us, Tepic thought. In my own name, in my own kingdom, I'm going to be shot. Angle 2.5, cud, fire. It was a magnificent volley. The gob of cud had commendable lift and spin, and hit with a sound like half a pound of semi-digested grass hitting someone in the face. There was nothing else it could sound like. The silence that followed was by way of being a standing ovation. The landscape began to distort again. This was clearly not a place to linger. You bastard looked down at his front legs. Let legs equal 4. He lumbered into a run. Camels apparently have more knees than any other creature, and you bastard ran like a steam engine, with lots of extraneous movement at right angles to the direction of motion, accompanied by a thunderous barrage of digestive noises. "Bloody stupid animal," muttered Petracci as they jolted away from the palace. "But it looks like it finally got the idea."
Gauge invariant repetition rate of 3.5 over Z. What's she talking about? Bloody stupid lives over in Tassort.
Though they swung through the air as though jointed with bad elastic, you bastard's legs covered a lot of ground, and already they were bouncing through the sleeping, packed earth streets of the city.
"It's starting again, isn't it?" said Petracci. "I'm going to shut my eyes."
Tepic nodded. The firebrick hot houses around them were doing their slow-motion mirror dance again, and the road was rising and falling in a way that solid land had no right to adopt.
"It's like the sea," he said. "I can't see anything," said Petracci firmly. "I mean the sea, the ocean, you know, waves. I've heard about it. Is anyone chasing us?"
Tepic turned in the saddle.
"Not that I can make out," he said. "It looks as..."
From here he could see past the long, low bulk of the palace and across the river to the Great Pyramid itself. It was almost hidden in dark clouds, but what he could see of it was definitely wrong. He knew it had 4 sides, and he could see all 8 of them. It seemed to be moving in and out of focus, which he felt instinctively was a dangerous thing for several million tons of rock to do. He felt a pressing urge to be a long way away from it. Even a dumb creature like the camel seemed to have the same idea. You bastard was thinking, delta squared, thus, dimensional pressure K will result in a 90-degree transformation in chi brackets 6 times PU brackets T for a K bundle of any 3 invariables, or 4 minutes plus or minus 10 seconds. The camel looked down at the great pads of his feet.
Let speed equal gallop.
"How did you make it do that?" said Tepic. "I didn't. It's doing it by itself. Hang on."
This wasn't easy. Tepic had saddled the camel but neglected the harness. Petracci had handfuls of camel hair to hang on to. All he had was handfuls of Petracci. No matter where he tried to put his hands, they encountered warm, yielding flesh. Nothing in his long education had prepared him for this, whereas everything in Petracci's obviously had. Her long hair whipped his face and smelled beguilingly of rare perfume, an effect achieved by distilling the testicles of a small tree-dwelling species of bear with the vomit of a whale and adding a handful of rose petals. Tepic would probably have felt no better for knowing this.
"Are you all right?" he shouted above the wind. "I'm hanging on with my knees." "That must be very hard. You get special training."
Camels gallop by throwing their feet as far away from them as possible and then running to keep up. Knee joints clicking like chilly castanets, you bastard thrashed up the sloping road out of the valley and windmilled along the narrow gorge that led under towering limestone cliffs to the high desert beyond. And behind them, tormented beyond measure by the inexorable tide of geometry, unable to discharge its burden of time, The Great Pyramid screamed, lifted itself off its base, and its bulk, swishing through the air as unstoppably as something completely unstoppable, ground around precisely 90 degrees and did something perverted to the fabric of time and